Today is Safer Internet Day, which seeks to promote the safe and positive use of digital technology for children and young people. A survey carried out by Cyber Safe Ireland shows that 1 in 10 children contact strangers online regularly. So what can be done to help us create a safer online world for our young people? Well, our technology correspondent, Jess Kelly, is with me now. Jess, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Safer Internet Day. Safer compared to what?
Well, compared to unsafe, I suppose. So look, the issue with this and the point of today is it's a good marker for parents to start a conversation with their young people, whether it's their children or their relations or their neighbours. Just start the conversation about being safe online, because I think we all, and I'll put my hands up, I was one of them, we all kind of ran away with ourselves with technology to a certain extent. It came into our lives, we thought, oh, it can do all these amazing things, let's just embrace it to our heart's content. And now we're starting to realise, well, hang on, maybe too much of, you can't have too much of a good thing, yeah. And it can go bad.
Now, in your case, you're well versed, you spot spam from, 2 kilometres away.
Mm-hmm.
You look at dodgy sites and you recognise them as such. I am quite surprised that 1 in 10 kids is talking to a stranger, because you wouldn't do it in the park.
No.
Why are you doing it online?
Do you know why? It's an attention thing. This is something that I've done quite a bit of research in, and, you know, I've gone around to different schools and I've spoken to pupils, and what they say is, you know, when they come home, if they can't sleep at night and nobody in the house is up and none of their friends are up, you can go onto a forum and chat to anyone at any given stage. And if there's no person available, there'll be a chatbot available. So it's attention. It's somebody to chat to.
The 1 in 10 talking to strangers, do we have any information as to how many of those strangers were dodgy strangers and how many of them were just, you know, a kid in California who wants to talk to a kid in Dublin?
This is where things get very grey and a little bit terrifying, because for every one person that we hear about being a dodgy person, there's probably 4 or 5 that we'll never hear about, because they won't get caught or they won't be identified or you'll never know, which is terrifying. And so what the whole point of today, and my understanding of today, is to try and have conversations with kids to talk about why are they using technology? What are they using it for? You know, like, what? Why do you go on to, whether it is Kik or whether it's Snapchat or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And who are you chatting to?
Okay, let's talk through the social media platforms that the kids use. I mean, people will be familiar with the names.
Yeah.
Whether it's, let's start with Facebook, which is the oldest, I suppose.
Yeah, and Facebook, kids aren't really using Facebook anymore. And the issue is that, you know, your mom is on Facebook, your dad is on Facebook, your auntie and your uncle are on Facebook. You don't want them being your friends. You don't want to be chatting to them there. But it's also an older, as you say, it's an older new media, in that you post up statuses and you post up photographs. Whereas on things like, whether it is Snapchat or whether it is Kik, which is a completely anonymous platform where you sign up, you can have any username you want, and there's different forms. So for example, if you're the biggest Ed Sheeran fan in the world, you can go on just to talk about Ed Sheeran. Or, you know, if...
And you don't have to expose yourself.
No.
That you, Jess Kelly, are a fan of Ed Sheeran.
Nope. You can literally just share, you know, your love of the songs and the music videos, and you're going to see him live and that kind of stuff. And that's...
But if it's totally anonymous, then in theory, can people get at people in any way? Or I suppose they could still make an assignation to meet them down,
yes,
at the local deli.
Because you still have your username. So although they may not know your actual name, they'll know your username, so they can find you time and again. And then you can have private messages with people, and you can be coerced and, just encouraged to do things that maybe you don't want to do.
Let's go back to the daddy of them all, Facebook.
Mm.
And we were always told, and in fact, one of the founders of Facebook has now admitted that, or one of the senior managers, that it's addictive.
Yes.
That it, you know, the rewarding system of all the likes and so on. You're saying that is fading in its popularity. Are other platforms using the likes the same thing?
It's the principle is the same. So, you know, whether it is on Instagram or whether it's on Snapchat, it's all based on how many followers you have and how many interactions you get in a particular day. It's the same thing of, it's the attention. It comes back to the attention. The like and the retweet and all that kind of stuff on Twitter is very much an acknowledgement.
So Facebook is out because your private life can be inadvertently shared with the adult world.
Yes.
Because there's so many adults on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the most common one, I suppose, Twitter, that we hear all about.
Yeah.
Is that simply messaging, putting it out there, having followers,
Twitter is kind of where the kids follow the famous people. So, you know, if you are a big fan, as we said, of Taylor Swift or of Ed Sheeran, you're most likely to get an interaction with the famous people like Kim Kardashian or whatever it may be on Twitter. That's where they go sort of for the fandoms. And that's what primarily happens there. Twitter, again, wouldn't be a massive concern in terms of the online safety to the same extent as, you remember last year we were talking about SimSimi, which is it's a chatbot app, basically. And what it was doing was, it was learning from the behaviours of the children using it. So if I put in, you know, Jess Kelly is an idiot, and then somebody else put in Jess Kelly, it would come up, oh, she's an idiot. So it answers back what it has been taught.
But it only knows what it's been given.
Exactly. And the point that I made at the time about this is that it was still the kids doing the bullying. It wasn't the technology. That technology was actually built to be a customer service application, and it was just being used in a different way. It's the same with, you know, Kick, which is just a forum. There's a whole host of different chat rooms that we've spoken about over the years. The forums seem to be where the kids are going back to. I remember when I was in school, the forums, we used to spend hours and hours talking pure rubbish in forums. And it seems that that's where it's gone back to now. It's more conversation based. It's more sharing videos. It's sharing photographs. And that's the point of concern.
What about Snapchat then?
Snapchat is a big one still. So Snapchat, for those who don't know, because again, you hear these things all the time, but unless you're actually using it, you don't really know how it works. So on Snapchat, you have your profile and you can, you know, document your day, for example. So you can have everything from getting up, going to school, going on the bus, all that sort of stuff. And you then have followers. These can be people that you know, or it can be people who just stumble upon your profile. Then within Snapchat, so that's on the right-hand side of Snapchat. On the left-hand side of Snapchat, you have private messaging. And this is where, you know, the parents start to hear alarm bells, because Snapchat is a visual medium. So you send photographs and you send videos. And on Snapchat, for the most part, these photographs and videos disappear after 10 seconds or so.
Yeah.
So you can't actually save them, but you can screenshot them.
Yeah, which means if it's an obscene image of somebody, if you are quick on the draw, you quickly screenshot them and you have the image.
You have the image. And so it goes back to that whole thing of, you know, people used to say, oh, well, things, because I'd always say things don't, you can't delete things from the internet. And people would say, oh, but, you know, Snapchat, it just disappears. No. If you have somebody, if someone has two phones or if someone has a phone and a tablet, nothing stopping them taking a video or taking a screenshot or whatever it may be.
Okay. What about Instagram then?
Instagram, again, Instagram is, it's a worry from particularly teenage girls in terms of body image issues, teenage boys as well. There's a lot of worrying hashtags that tend to go around and they tend to be viral crazes. So whether it is to do with body appearance or, you know, other issues that we probably won't talk about now, but it can be a worrying platform, and it's something that parents do need to be aware of. You can lock your profile. So just because you have a profile doesn't mean that the public can see it. But for the most part, anybody can follow you and see what you're up to.
Okay, so for parents who want to kind of monitor all this stuff and try to control it, what devices and what programs are available to them?
So what I would say first and foremost, if you haven't already given your child a phone, if you're thinking about giving your child a phone, set the phone up and associate it with an email account that you control. So for example, if you're giving me a phone, you set the email address, you set the password. That way then you can see the apps that I have on the phone. You won't be able to read my messages. But for example, if I have Kick on my phone and you've heard in the news that something's going around about Kick and you're not happy with me having it, we can then have that conversation and you can take it off my phone. That's step one. If you are a parent and you have already given the phone or the tablet, there's a website called webwise.ie/parents. And this is a section of a website that is free to use for all parents. And it starts at a very basic level. So it gives you the terminology. It gives you questions to ask. It gives you conversation starters. So if you literally do not know how to begin having a conversation with your child, that is an excellent resource. And as I said, it's completely free.
There's a device called iKids, I-K-Y-D-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent Wall was actually talking about it on Business Now. What is that?
So this is a device that plugs into the modem in your home. So where your internet comes in, the little box, you plug in the iKids box to that. It's another small little box.
It costs €99.
€99. And for that, you then put the app on your phone. So if you're the parent or the guardian, you download the app, which is the control hub, onto your phone. And then everybody else's phone has to go onto the iKids router. So it gets knocked off. Say if the home is called Home 1, it would go onto the kids' iKids kid's router, and then you as the parent can give authority or not to the different devices to access certain applications or websites. For example, if we're in the News Talk house now and you don't want me to go on Instagram between your show between 9 and 12, you can set that so that I will not be able to access Instagram between 9 and 12. If you don't want me going on Snapchat between 11 and 12, you can block that.
Okay, so a kid is gone to bed, lights out, but they're bored, so mm-hmm. they go on their phone. You can actually, can you deprive them of all access via Wi-Fi?
Yes, you can.
From 11 o'clock at night, for example.
Yes, you can. And also, it means that you're not blocking access to everybody else in the house. So say if you have...
Oh, you can do it device by device.
Yes, indeed. So if you have an 18-year-old and you're like, you know what, you're responsible, you do what you want on your phone, but you have a 15-year-old that you want to monitor, you can either block access to their device alone, you can block access to certain websites and applications as well. So it's very easy to manage and it's kind of like the one-stop shop.
Now, do any of the big people like YouTube, Google actually provide parental filters, you know, that limit the kind of access that people have?
Yes, and YouTube are actually quite good at it. So there's an application called YouTube Kids, and it's a must-have for anybody with young relatives that like watching, whether it's, you know, Peppa Pig videos or Play-Doh videos on YouTube. YouTube Kids has been, for the most part, approved as being kid-friendly videos. You still obviously have to keep an ear on them because some stuff can slip through the net. On actual YouTube, on the main YouTube, there are certain filters that you can put in place. So there's, you know, the adult material filter, there's the 18 plus filter, that sort of stuff, that they are there. But again, you have to go looking for them. So, you know, I've made this point the other day, but, you know, a lot of people are saying they feel powerless at the moment because the tsunami of the technology, and it's getting more and more and more, but people don't know where to begin. If I was a parent, and I'm not, but if I was, I would go to webwise.ie/parents, read that resource. I would then look at the different control options that are there and then have a conversation.
Okay, now a number of people have been texting us, and we'll hold these questions. You going to come back to us,
yes, I will.
In the third hour of the show and answer those, and also the technical questions about phones and printers and everything else that you're so good at doing. But a final comment for the moment, this business of banning smartphones for those under 14. What do you think of that notion?
I don't think it's going to work. I think I understand that the intentions are all well and good, but I think the genie's out of the bottle now. I think this is a conversation, a proposal we should have had 5 years ago. Technology has become so embedded in our lives. We're so reliant on it. And I think to try and enforce that ban, that's not addressing the issue. You're still going to have these same issues with a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old. Why don't we educate people, starting with the parents, then going into the schools, and then let them teach the kids on how to be safe online rather than just pushing off the problem until they're 15 or 14.
Now, we promised people you would answer their tech questions and comments, particularly on internet safety, but also general queries. I recently found a chat group on my son's phones where a group of about 15 to 20 boys were sending around nude videos and images of multiple teenage girls living around our area. They were all sent on Snapchat. You could see the conversations where the boys were telling the girls that they love them, and if they really loved them back, they'd send nude pictures and videos. The boys were promising the girls they wouldn't show anyone, and when the girls would send the pictures, the boys would open them on one device and film them on another device, so the girls never knew that the pictures had been recorded and then sent around in forums to tens, maybe hundreds and thousands of other people on the internet.
This is the definition of every parent's worst nightmare. And the unfortunate thing is that this isn't a once off. This is what we were talking about earlier when I mentioned the point that, you know, people think Snapchat is a once thing. It's only there for 10 seconds and then it goes. Don't ever put anything on the internet that you wouldn't want your mother to see. That's my rule of thumb. Unfortunately, in this instance, there's not a whole host you can do. It comes back to that point of education, having the conversation with your children, letting the parents have the conversations with the children to understand that, you know, just because somebody says they love you or they want you to do something online, you shouldn't do it. It's a massive issue. It's you're being coerced into doing things. It's also worth, not to scare the bejesus out of people, but it's worth noting, if you're a child is sending a nude image or video to another person with their consent, they're actually distributing child pornography. And if that gets into the wrong hands, the person who is sending the images can be done for distributing child pornography. So there's a very serious legal aspect to this. There's a social aspect to it. There's a technological aspect to it. And then it comes back to my point of always just having a bit of cop on.
And of course, many of these girls will imagine that they are grown up. But they're only like 12, 13 years old. And to paedophiles' eyes, they are children. So
yeah, it's like I just can't even imagine what parents are thinking and how worried they must be. You know, even just this morning, somebody messaged me on Twitter to say that their child plays the PlayStation and they notice a chat window with somebody with a particular username that wasn't one of their friends and it wasn't their next door neighbour. So it's kind of coming at from every different avenue. So it's a scary time.
Someone is using my child's name on Snapchat and messaging her friends posing as her. She's age 14. What should I do?
Again, this is it's a very tricky one. So in terms, like, there's nothing stopping anybody from using a username on a social media platform. That's an okay thing to do. Now, if you want, you could go to the Gardaí and just say that somebody is pretending to be, like, impersonating your daughter. What I would do is I would go to the school and I would ask the teachers to circulate a letter home to the class alerting them to the fact that this is happening. And again, push it on the parents to address with their child saying, you know, if this is happening, you can't be doing that. There are ramifications, there are implications, and it needs to stop. From a technological point of view, unfortunately, there's nothing I can tell you to do, unfortunately.
Ask Jess, please, is there any way to see Snapchat texts on my son's phone after they've been sent or received?
No, unfortunately not.
So the sent stuff is gone as well as the received stuff?
Everything is gone. It's not saved to the phone at all. Once it's gone, it's gone.
How does iKids filter SSL or TLS secure sites and apps?
So the way the iKids thing works, so you're plugging something into the modem, so you're plugging the iKids box into the modem, you're then controlling what sites and what apps you want blocked from your phone as the adult in the control hub. So you simply just put in what the website is. It doesn't really matter about the SSL or anything like that. Once you've input what it is or the name of the application, it's blocked.
What about kids deciding to use their 4G on their phone, even though you've got iKids installed on your home modem? What then?
So parents can pay. This is a new feature that iKids have recently launched. And again, their website is iKYDZ. For €5 a month, €4.99 a month, you can actually get the iKids technology on 3G and 4G. The way it works is when a phone is purchased, it's communicated through the iKids website. iKids get onto the network saying this device is now going to be manned, I suppose, by the iKids technology. And then you have the restrictions in place.
So iKids will actually talk to the network provider and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they try to get on using their 4G, they cannot. Regarding a Wi-Fi blocking device plugged into your router, that may be good for late night blocking control. But if it's a mobile phone, then they will have data from the service provider. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so you have the €5 workaround there in terms of if you want to pay the $5.99 or $4.99 a month, you can get that facility in place. You're not going to be able to do the helicopter parenting thing of every single second of every single day. That's why I keep coming back to the thing of having a conversation, education, and exercising a little bit of cop on when it comes to technology.
Now, more general stuff. I bought an external hard drive as I'm working on a project. Do I keep it constantly plugged into my laptop all the time that I'm working, or do I just plug it in and out when I'm saving my work? That's from Anya.
So if the project that you're working on, so say for example if you're working on a Word doc, just for argument's sake, and it is saved onto the external hard drive, not to the computer, you need to have it connected when you're working on it. If you eject that whilst working on it, it can corrupt the file and cause you all host of headaches. So unless you want to save a copy to your desktop and then keep the final copy on the external hard drive. But if your hard drive is connected to the computer, you're opening it and you're working on it on your computer, you need to keep the hard drive connected at all times.
Could you please ask Jess, if I listen to radio on my Android phone, can there ever be costs involved? Say if I listen to BBC Radio 4 at home or News Talk Abroad, for example.
So if you're using your Wi-Fi network, no, it'll just use your Wi-Fi at home. If you're using your data, it doesn't use a huge amount of data. It's only a tiny bit. There shouldn't be any massive amount of costs. If you have data built into your plan when you are on holiday, the abolition of roaming rates means that you shouldn't be charged anymore.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens post-Brexit, whether they'll try to cut deals that allow that facility to continue.
Well, I'm going to. There's an event called Mobile World Congress. This is where all the big phone manufacturers attend and the mobile networks from right around the world attend. And one of the key issues will be about the roaming rates. And I'm going to be looking at that exact issue of the impact of Brexit, because it's going to cause a headache for a lot of business people. If you're on a flight at 6:30 on Monday morning, 95% of those people are Irish business people going to the UK to do some work for the week or for a few days, whatever it may be. So if they're going to have to get a UK SIM to try and keep costs down, it's going to be a pain.
But even when I was driving up last week to Black Lion in Cavan, I went into Northern Ireland and my phone told me that I had just done that. And then I emerged again a few minutes later back into the Republic and it told me I was no longer roaming and so on.
They had said it at the time the vote went through, the mobile network were saying that they couldn't confirm what way it was going to go. But any conversations that I've had kind of has insinuated that it won't go down that route, but you just don't know what way it's going to fall.
Can you recommend a good laptop for general use, email, writing letters, etc.? My daughters have MacBooks, but I would prefer a good regular laptop for domestic use. That's from Nicole.
Yeah,
Nicola.
The MacBooks are great, but they are just very expensive for the basic functions that you're looking for. There's the Lenovo IdeaPad. Lenovo have really impressed me in terms of laptops in the last wee while. It's the IdeaPad 320. It's a 14-inch laptop, runs Windows 10, really good processor, 4 gigs of RAM, terabyte of storage. So if you did want to do something a bit more demanding, it'll do the job. And it's now 339 in Curry's PC World.
Very good. I've been using the gym more and I'm finding that my in-ear earphones keep falling out when I'm on the treadmill or whatever. I'm thinking of buying wireless headphones, but are they very expensive?
The ones that are of any use are a little bit more expensive. You kind of do pay what you get for when it comes to headphones. You can get ones for around €40, but the sound quality wouldn't be fantastic. Also, if you're running on a treadmill in a gym, they would still have the background noise. You'd be able to hear your feet thumping on the treadmill. You'd hear the music playing in the gym. What might be worth looking at, there's a pair of headphones. They're Sony MDR X1000. It's a long name. And they're a little bit more expensive. They're around the €240 mark. They're on-ear headphones, but they are very comfortable and they sit on your head snugly enough that you would be able to use them in the gym, but they do have noise cancelling, so you can block out the external sounds.
Find someone to buy you a nice birthday present.
That's it there now, yeah.
I have a Galaxy Tab 6. How do I assign the SD card as internal storage?
When you go into the settings, so if you go settings, you go to, it'll either say storage or memory, and then you can just select the option. It should be quite straightforward. If you're having an issue with it, email patkenny@newstalk.com and I can get back to you.
Kevin from Cork, could you ask Jess, how do I access iCloud to transfer data as my phone and iPad storage are nearly full? I'm paying a monthly fee for iCloud and I thought it would transfer data automatically. Step by step for a Luddite, please.
You're not a Luddite. If you've got an iCloud, you're doing okay. So if you go to iCloud.com, then you will log in with your Apple ID. So that's whatever email address and password are associated with your iPhone. From there, you'll be able to see things like messages, contacts and so on. And you should be able to download it and put it to wherever you want to go.
If I have Netflix downloaded movies on my iPad, is there any way I can watch these on a TV? There's no internet in this area, so I cannot stream. That's from Mary Rooney. Forget 4G dongles, she says.
Yes, there's a €40 solution that will change your life. It's called the Chromecast. So this is a small device that will plug into the HDMI port on the back of your TV. Then when you open your Netflix app, you'll notice a little Chromecast symbol and you'll be able to stream everything from your phone onto your TV.
For Jess, when I was 14, I played Xbox Live with people my age and adults on Call of Duty. We had the crack and I was never approached sexually in other group lobbies. Mm-hmm. There is a social advantage to converse with people you don't know and who are not your age. Teenagers these days just don't seem to have the cop on. More education and possibly raising approaches need to be looked at.
Yeah, I do think, as I said, education is key here. It's coming down to the conversations. Also, yes, talking to strangers is brilliant. But also, if you don't want to talk to someone, just say no. Just close the window. Yeah. Just walk away. You can do that.
A final one, and briefly, why should the school be the ones to alert all parents regarding Snapchat impersonation, which is happening outside of school time? I work in education. I'm tired of the school constantly being dragged in to sort out these messes. We constantly inform kids of how to be safe online, but we don't allow them to use devices in school. So really, there should be a point where the parents have to solve the issue.
Absolutely, I completely agree. Parents need to parent. But what I'm saying is that if this is an issue that's with a group of girls from a particular class, that school will have the contact database for those parents. So it makes most amount of sense to go through the school.
All right, for the moment, Jess Kelly, thank you very much. Tech Talk returning on Sunday at 6.
Yes, indeed.
6 o'clock.